Hi there, and welcome to this episode of the Business Beyond Borders podcast. My name is Eric Snow, and I'm taking over the podcast from the U.S. I'm an entrepreneur, I work in the beer industry, and I'm part of the IBA team here in the States. I'm going to do four short episodes with Cynthia, where I go over some of the information about the IBA for people who are potentially interested in getting involved. In the first episode, we talked about the why. In this episode, we're going to talk about mistakes and some of the common mistakes that people make as they begin their internationalization journey. So, Cynthia, for people who aren't fully aware of what the IBA is, can you, in a few short sentences, describe what it is?
Yeah, for sure. So, the IBA is a program for business owners who want to take their company international and who want to make sure that that process is a success. And we do three things for the people who are part of the IBA. We help them to create a great strategy, which makes sure that their business is going to succeed internationally. We help them to ensure that they've got enough momentum to actually implement the strategy and get it up and running. And we help them to build the confidence that they can succeed to ensure that they actually get through to the end of the process and that they have a fantastic business that is operating well.
I love it. So let's just jump right in and we'll talk about some mistakes. So when you think about some of the common mistakes that people make, what's the first one that everybody does?
So one of the really big ones, which pretty much everybody does, is that people start the process of going international without being self-aware. And when you say this to people, they're like, what do you mean? Of course I'm self-aware. But what I really mean by that is that when you run a company at home, often you start it and it does well, but it just grows organically. And your success is just something that kind of comes out of, you know, it appears to come out of nowhere. And so you never really stand back and assess, well, why have we been successful? You never stand back and really break down what the key components of that success have been. Now, that is okay if you're working at home, but once you start to build an international business, you're going into an environment that is more complex. It's often literally unknown territory for you. You know, you don't know it very well. You don't know the people who are there. And it's often, depending on the market, it's often competitive. And so in order to actually be able to do well in that environment, you need to actually go in understanding what's already made you successful and having a pretty clear idea of how you intend to go about replicating that success. And that's probably not going to be doing exactly the same thing, but you need to get very clear on what's made you good so far and how you're going to leverage that to actually do well in another country. So that's your first big mistake.
Can you give me an example of how you would do that in an IBA session?
What we would do, well, what we generally do in one of our very first sessions is that we get people to sit down and work out what their core competencies are. And what I mean by a core competency is, what is the thing that is unique about your company? What is it that makes you special that you do better than anybody else? And it's usually not one thing. So this is not about, we own, you know, bricks and mortar shops all over the States. That is not a core competency. It's not about, well, we have $5 million in the bank. That is also not a core competency. A core competency is usually a bundle of skills and qualities that the business has that gives it its edge. So it could be a combination of some kind of technology, innovation, quality, customer service, speed, you know, those kind of things. And the thing about a core competency is that it has to meet three tests. So the first test is, does this bundle of skills or assets allow us to get new clients and potentially reach into new markets? The second test is, does this bundle of skills and assets contribute to how the consumer or the customer sees our product? So is this something that the consumer or customer will value? And thirdly, it has to be something that is difficult to replicate. So for example, if you are using the Zoom platform to deliver your product, that is not a core competency because it's very easy to replicate. Anybody can go and create a Zoom account for free. Or, you know, having a closed Facebook group to do something with your company is also not a core competency by itself. But if you bundle it up with some other stuff, it might actually become a core competency. So those are the kind of things we look at. We help people to figure out, what are we really good at? What is it that makes us special and different from other companies? And so what is our competitive edge and the thing that is likely to help us succeed in a new country?
So if somebody came to you and they said, well, the reason that I want to internationalize is because I want to make a boatload of money, how would you describe that person and them understanding their reason why?
I'd say it is a little bit general because, you know, when you get right down to it, everybody wants to make more money. I mean, you definitely don't expand your company internationally to make less money. That's just kind of silly. But saying I want more money, that's not a good enough reason in itself. I mean, that doesn't get down into the level of detail that you really need. So you need to look beyond, okay, well, I just want to make more money. How are you actually going to do that? You know, are you going to do it to increase by increasing sales? Are you going to 10x the number of customers that you've currently gotten? That's how you're going to make more money. Or are you going to do it by improving your profits because you sell into a country where your product will sell at a much higher price? So for an example, if you sell extended shelf life milk, which lasts a long time, if you produce that in Australia and you sell it here, you know, it retails for about somewhere between $1 and $3 a litre on the supermarket shelves. If you sell that same milk produced in Australia into China, it'll retail for somewhere between $10 and $20 a litre. So you might be making your extra money by improving your profit margins. You might be making more money by controlling your expenses. And in some places, you can do that because, for example, you can manufacture much less expensively than you can at home. You know, maybe the cost of labor is cheaper or the cost of materials is cheaper, or maybe your factory, if you're located in another country, is near a source of a raw material. Maybe you are expanding the business for a lifestyle reason. Now, that might not be directly related to making more money, or it might be. Maybe you're going to move to somewhere where the cost of living is much cheaper, or maybe you just want to have that lifestyle benefit of being able to travel by expanding the business. If you are, depending on what kind of company you run, maybe you're looking for economies of scale that you can get by relocating elsewhere. And again, this is somewhere, this is a way that you can perhaps control the cost of manufacture and get more clients at the same time. Maybe you're looking for short-term security. So if there's a downturn in the US market, the sales in other markets are actually going to balance out that economic downturn. Maybe you're just looking to diversify markets and have different markets operating concurrently. Maybe you're looking to increase innovation by working with new kinds of customers, which is going to give you the opportunity to develop products for them. Maybe you're looking for a favorable business climate with government incentives. So, you know, if you go somewhere like the Philippines or Vietnam, there is basically no personal corporate tax. So that's certainly a really different scenario to, you know, to the kind of countries that we're operating in. Maybe it's about reputation. Maybe you want that kick to your branding by being able to say, well, we operate in 6 countries, and people to think, well, that's really awesome. They're obviously credible and they want to buy from you. So there are a whole range of reasons. And until you get really clear on, okay, well, what are the real reasons that we're going to do this? Not just, I want a truckload of money. I mean, a truckload of money is great, but it's not nearly specific enough. You need to know how we're going to get that truckload of money.
Exactly. So, you know, I think people spend a lot of time thinking about possible failure or worst case scenarios, or, you know, if you're putting your life savings into your business, you spend a lot of time thinking about what could go wrong. But I find that people really don't spend a lot of time thinking about what success looks like. And so I think one of the challenges is, you know, how do you help people understand what that looks like? And, for example, if somebody's trying to expand and do something and they say, okay, well, in 2 years, I want to do this, you also have to give them permission to enjoy it if they achieve those goals because they've set them out ahead of time. So how does that work in the program where you help people sort of figure out what success looks like?
Well, one thing that we do with our clients is we get them to think about, what does it look like? I mean, let's set some goals. Let's set up a picture of success so we know whether we've achieved it and by when we've achieved it. And really, to do that, what we are asking for is for our clients to create SMART goals, which everybody has probably heard of. And a SMART goal is something that is specific. You know, it's a specific goal and it's got numbers attached to it. It's got things that you can count and it's measurable. So again, you know, it's got some numbers in there. You should be able to graph your goals. It's agreed upon. Everybody in the team has gotten on board and said, yeah, this is what we're going to do, have for a goal. And this is how we will know if we've succeeded. They have to be realistic. So look, we get people who come and want to work with us and they say, I'm going to turn over I'm pre-revenue right now, but I'm going to turn over $500 million a year in 3 years' time. And we're like, okay. And so then we...
With their pre-revenue, they're making that statement.
It has happened, and we have to sit down with those people, and once they become clients, and say, okay, well, I'm not going to tell you that's not possible, but in order for me to say, yeah, that's going to work, I need you to show me how are you actually going to do that. You know, so your goals have got to be realistic. Otherwise, a couple of things are going to happen. You know, you are going to get, you're going to get very disappointed, firstly, when you don't achieve them in the time frame that you set yourself. And you also might just keep setting these unrealistic goals and you never ever meet them. And over time, what that does is it eats away at your confidence because you're like, whatever goal setting, it doesn't work. And it really damages your momentum because you get demoralized because you keep setting these goals that you just can't hit. And so we get people, want people to be realistic about the goals that they're setting. And yeah, sure, they might be smaller now, but you know, if you can get those smaller goals knocked out of the way, you can then go on to set the bigger goals. So I've got up to realistic and I kind of got stuck. The last thing you need with the SMART goal is it has to be time bound. So we need to know by when are you going to need to achieve this goal. And the reason that I think you want to do this is so you can create a roadmap for success. You know, so you can print your goals out, you can have them on the wall, but you can also have next to them that action plan for, well, how are we going to get there? So you know as you start your day each day what you're working on that day and which of those goals it's contributing to. And you just keep that in front of you all the time because we know that where you visualize your goals and you can see those and you can visualize and see your actions, they're way more likely to get done than if you just kind of have them floating around in the back of your head and nobody on your team is really clear about what they are.
Well, I think that's good info. So I think we're going to wrap up this segment, but thank you so much for your time. In the next episode, we're going to talk about market research and why it's so important.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite platform. Right now, you can catch us on SoundCloud and also on iTunes, but keep an eye out for more platforms coming soon.
For more information, you can also go to the website internationalbusinessaccelerator.com.